like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I've heard that there's a house that has some bodies in the basement.
Somebody told you that Shakaya was a victim of human trafficking?
And come to find out, this is like it exploded into this huge thing.
I just knew something was wrong.
Police say 33-year-old Jared Bridegan was shot dead.
I kept calling his phone during the drive.
Gunned down in front of his 2-year-old daughter. It's a murder that stunned Jacks Beach neighbors.
His murder has attracted national attention, with investigators saying he was targeted.
Eventually, a police officer answered and told me to come to the police station.
Justice is something that takes different shapes or forms.
If you know something, heard something, please, it's never too late to do the right thing.
So I'm Deanna Thompson, aka Body Movin'.
And I'm John Green. For about a decade, Deanna and I spent a lot of time on the internet, especially in the underbelly of the internet, trying to identify and get animal abusers arrested.
We spent countless hours scouring the dark web, helping catch predators. We spent over a year and a half trying to get law enforcement to take us seriously about a man that was killing cats online, and he was threatening to move on to kill humans, and that was Luca Magnotta.
Yeah, you might have heard about the Netflix special called Don't Fuck with Cats.
That's us. Well, now we're turning our online investigative skills to some of the most unexplained, unsolved, and just ignored cases. This is True Crimes,
the production of iHeartRadio and KT Studios. So I really want to find out more about this mysterious White House in Billings, Montana, and how it could be connected in some way to Shakaya's disappearance.
Right. We have that old blurry photo that the team from KT Studios sent us from when they went out to Billings in 2019. Remember, they did that documentary about missing and murdered Indigenous women for NBC Universal's Oxygen Network. Stephanie from KT said we need to talk to Mike Toth. He's the private investigator they worked with in Montana.
Yeah, hopefully Mike can shed some light on this mysterious house.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Good to meet you virtually, I guess, huh?
As you know, Stephanie and them, they reached out to me in Montana because they were looking for a PI to give them some guidance. From then on, we just started working on the case. And this one that we're talking about now was on our radar.
One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today is last week we were provided a couple of photos. Apparently, it's in reference to some weird house where girls are supposedly held against their will in the basement and bad things are done to them. Are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with that story, yes. And that house.
So do you know where that house is?
Yeah, I'm sitting out in front of it right now. I'm just driving around aimlessly. You know, I didn't know exactly what part of town it was at. I didn't know what street. So I was like, I'm going to just do a grid drive. And sure enough, when I turned the corner, boom, there it was.
I'm on my laptop looking at it on Google Street Maps. I see it now. And so, and this is what I told Stephanie. I think the building, it looks like it's a detached garage to me more than anything. So Do you believe there's any validity that this house was, or this building was used to hold women, girls against their?
I don't know for sure.
It doesn't look like there's a basement. So like right to the front door, there was a camera there, right?
It looks like there used to be one. But I remember when we were here 4 years ago, there was cameras. I remember there was cameras all around the house. And now there isn't. And to me, it doesn't look like anybody's there. Those cars aren't there anymore. Now the lawn is mowed, freshly mowed, compared to everybody else's. So it would just be watching it, I guess, to see if somebody's coming and going or checking on it.
Yeah.
But right now, if I was to guess, I'd say no one's living there.
So our private investigator, Mike Toth, says no one is living there, and the house looks very different than it did several years ago.
Yeah, which might mean if it was used as a trafficking house, and for all intents and purposes, that's a big if. They've probably moved on, which makes a lot of sense. Human traffickers don't hang out in one spot. They tend to move around a lot.
Right. But maybe there's some information about the past tenants or the owners that we can find out. John, go do your thing and let me know what you find out.
KT Studio sent us the photos. Unfortunately, they didn't have the exact address because it was 3 years ago. I went online on Google and tried to find it. I found the park that, this is the weird part, I found a park that matches one of the photos they sent us, that KT Studio sent us, and that's the park the detective said Shekiah left Tumbleweed to go meet somebody at. This house is literally 3 blocks, less than half a mile from South Park.
Oh,
he
really?
He went down and drove around the neighborhood and found the building again. He called me. He was sitting across the street from the building. He actually sent me a photo.
You sent me a link on Discord this morning of maps, right?
Yes.
And so I'm looking at it right now, okay?
Yep.
And I'm looking at South Park, which is the place that the private investigator said that she was walking to, right?
And just to the, like, 10 o'clock, a little bit over from the park, there's another red dot.
Yes.
That's the building.
Oh, that's the house. Okay. That is very close.
See, now I'm starting to think maybe there's some significance. So After talking to the PI, I started thinking, okay, let's find out who owns this building. So I went, you know, on Google Street Maps, it gives it a street number. I'm not going to name it right now.
Sure.
We don't know. But it actually gives it a street number. So I just went on a real estate site, Zillow.com, and typed it in. It said that address doesn't exist. And I thought, that's strange. So I said, well, I'm going to see if Billings, Montana has like an assessor's parcel map.
Yeah.
And so they do. They have a planning map and an assessor's property map. I went in, typed that address. It doesn't come up. But what happens is the address of the building next to it comes up. And when you're looking at the parcel map, it includes that house next to it.
So it's the same property, two different buildings.
Yes.
Is that right? So same property, two different buildings. Okay.
Yes. If you were looking at it, you would think maybe they're separate buildings. It shows who owns the building next to it that you can find. It shows it. It's an LLC company to a person who lives in another state. So it was just kind of...
Why would an LLC own that little barn-looking thing? It looks like a little white barn.
At first, I thought this white building had nothing of any significance, but then the more I keep digging it, the more weirder it gets. So I don't know yet. We don't know
yet.
That
is interesting.
But it is close to the park, so we need to...
It is very close to that park.
Yes, so we need to ask... hopefully, we can speak to... Shekiah's sister, Shanae, again, and ask her if she's heard this story about Shekiah leaving Tumbleweed to go walk to a park to meet somebody. It matches, but here's the difference. In 2019, when they found this house, they said there were cameras all over it. He said now there doesn't be any cameras on this house.
Okay.
And when I looked up the property tax information, up until 2017, it was owned by one corporation, but in 2018 till now, it switched to a different corporation.
Really?
The ownership
could have changed in 2018, which is the same time that Takiyah went missing. Now, maybe we're just, this has nothing to do with her disappearance, but the more we look at this building, this white building, the more weirder it gets, I guess. So that's just one more thing we need to run down.
I've been trying to learn about human trafficking since we talked to Shanae. And that's what they'll do. They'll rent properties for like 6 months at a time and move constantly, you know? So it like they have like a house, like a not a safe house, because it's clearly not a safe house, but they'll have a base, right?
Yeah.
And then leave after 6 months. So it wouldn't surprise me if there was some sort of, you know, stash house for these girls.
Well, here's the one thing. In both versions of the story, there's one commonality, and that's tumbleweed.
Let's stop here for a break. We'll be back in a moment.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
We need to talk to Shakaya's sister, Shawnee, more about the day Shakaya disappeared.
Yeah, now that we have a better understanding of the area in Billings, the park, and this mysterious house, let's talk with Shawnee.
Oh, and we need to talk about the red pickup truck that was mentioned earlier. And that's another thread we need to pull out.
Hello, is this Shawnee?
Hey, yes.
Hi, this is John. No worries.
Hi.
Hey, one second. I have Deanna on the other line. She's at work, so she's not going to talk much. She's just going to listen to you and I talk. Hey, Deanna?
Yeah.
I have Shawnee on the line with us. talking to you last week was like very, very informative, gave us a lot of information. And I kind of wanted to follow up with that conversation, maybe ask some follow-up questions and some more questions, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
And how do we know there's a red truck? I'm sorry to keep bothering with these things.
No, you're fine.
We have to who saw this red truck? What is this? There's a video. We don't know. What can you tell us?
Apparently there is a video of her getting onto this red truck. And I don't know if that originated from Detective Fritz or exactly who that originated from. Supposedly there's a video of her getting onto this red truck.
I read about that. Your cousin posted about that, and she said that Tumbleweed couldn't read the license plate, according to Yellowstone County Sheriff's office. But we don't know if that's been verified or not. So we kind of want to talk to the cops and see if they'll tell us anything.
Right.
So who's Detective Fritz, if you don't mind me asking?
Detective Fritz is the guy from Yellowstone County Detective's office. He is the one who actually found her case. Like I said, nobody gave it to him. He just picked it up off a desk. And he's been the one that's been on her case for these past 4 years.
And he's still actively working it?
I don't know about how actively, but I know he is a detective assigned.
And has he been open to speaking with your family about Shakaya?
It kind of seems like it's on his terms, because when we try to call or get a hold of him or anything, we don't get an answer back unless he calls us. I don't feel very comfortable with them handling my sister's case at all. You know, I don't know exactly what happened. I just know that she was filed. Detective Fritz told us himself that he's the one who found it 3 months later and decided to pick it up and roll with it. We would try to call into the detective's office, and we were either told that Detective Fritz needs to get a hold of us. They wouldn't really actually listen to what we had to say. I don't even know if any of the information that we told them was taken down and given to him. I don't know.
That's the kind of feeling we have too. And we've been through that before personally, you know. So we definitely understand. And it's very upsetting. I get the impression that they were kind of probably like, oh, you know, a girl of the streets kind of thing. Mm-hmm. On top of that, she's Native American. And you know what I mean? Like, I just get that impression.
Oh, 100%. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. There were a few things that popped up that we didn't understand why they weren't being looked into. And I'll text my mom just to confirm who that was, what that was. But again, like, there was a few things that we called in that we got tips on our own. And don't know if they were taken serious. And then if we did talk to Detective Fritz, we were told that it needs to come from a first person, no more the
hearsay. Kind of thing.
Yeah. And okay. which I get, but at the same time, when we're telling you who this is, they were never contacted by Detective Fritz.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that time is so important, you know, and you know that you're living it. So yeah, that's kind of the impression that we have as well. And we don't want to ruin this investigation. My biggest thing right now is Rico is in jail, right? Mm-hmm. And he hasn't had trial yet. He's been in prison or in jail for like 18, 19 months. Are they like putting the pressure on him to get information about where he took Shakaya?
You know, this whole situation where Shakaya's missing persons case just sat on somebody's desk is really bothering me.
I don't get how someone, a young girl, could go missing. The family files a police report and nothing happens until it's just found on someone's desk. It doesn't seem right, especially since we know that Indigenous women disappear and are killed at very alarming rates.
Yeah, it feels like Shakaya's missing persons case is part of a larger issue with Indigenous women in Montana.
I came across this lawyer and Indigenous activist. Her name is Mary Catherine Nagel. I think she can really help us explain how Shakaya's case fits into the larger problem of missing and murdered Indigenous women.
Deanna?
Yeah.
Mary Catherine's on the line with us.
Oh, wonderful. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
We are so nervous to talk to you because we read about you today, and you are a very, very impressive woman.
Oh, well, that's very kind. Let me just dispel you of any anxiety. I am nothing but a commoner. There's nothing magic about it. I'll tell you that.
Oh, my gosh. You're a playwright. You're a lawyer. Come on. You're pretty impressive. Oh, well,
thank you. That is very kind. And I am just very excited to be connected with you two and to hear, you know, what the stories you're interested in sharing and telling. And
we wanted to provide some, like, backstory to Shakaya. She's our missing woman. Maybe some of the challenges that, you know, that she would experience and, you know, with law enforcement and you know, her substance abuse problem, perhaps, and why that happens. And, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. how, like, the Violence Against Women's Act failed and how that all goes into, and why tribal sovereignty is so important, right? So, so we wanted to kind of talk to somebody who knew about that, and you are like the perfect person to do that. So I'm so grateful that you're willing to talk to us.
So the work that I do is trying to fight for justice for these families and for the lost lives, fighting, asking law enforcement to investigate their cases. It's hard work. There's pretty much every incentive you could think of to not investigate the homicides of Native people in this country. And even though we are the population most likely to be murdered, we're the population whose homicides are the least likely to be investigated, which I think is in part why we're murdered at such incredibly high rates. There are just no consequences for murdering Native people. On many reservations today and in many urban areas, you can murder a Native person and law enforcement will not investigate.
Why is that? I mean, is it just lack of resources? Is it just jurisdictional issues?
So there are many reasons why Native women and Native people are more likely to be murdered than any other population. One is a jurisdictional issue, and that is that, as the Department of Justice has reported, the majority of violent crimes committed against Native people are committed by non-Indians, which is a political classification related to citizenship. You're a non-Indian if you're not a citizen of a tribal nation. You are an Indian if you are a citizen of a tribal nation. And according to the DOJ, non-Indians are more likely to be committing violent crimes against Indians than Indians themselves. The reason that's a jurisdictional issue is that in 1978, the Supreme Court eliminated tribal criminal jurisdiction over non-Indians on tribal land. So today, if you're a non-Indian, again, someone who's not a citizen of a tribal nation, you can come onto tribal lands and kill anyone you want, and the tribe cannot prosecute you. The FBI has jurisdiction, but it's not a priority for them. The FBI always has jurisdiction when a Native person is murdered on tribal land, but more often than not, the FBI declines to investigate. And some of that could be attributed to a lack of resources. However, at the end of the day, it's because it's not a priority for the FBI. The FBI does not deem it a worthy expenditure of their resources. When you're off of tribal land, and you're in communities like Billings or Hardin, Montana, in Bighorn County, tribal governments don't have jurisdiction beyond the reservation border. You're depending on, you know, state and county law enforcement or the urban police department. You know, in Billings, you'd be dependent on the Billings police department. And there's a lot of prejudice and bias in border towns and urban areas near reservations or with high urban Indian populations. So, for instance, in Billings, Billings police department has one of the highest rates of killing Native people. There's a high rate of violence perpetrated on Native people by the Billings Police Department, and in turn, a real lack of motivation or incentive for them to investigate the homicides of Native people that take place in Billings. Similar to that, in Bighorn County, not too far away in Hardin, Montana, they have one of the highest rates of missing and murdered in the entire United States, and, you know, the sheriff's office there does not investigate homicides of Native people.
So in doing some research just on Shakaya's case, we wanted to see how big of a problem this was and looking up data and reports. So the one statistic that really stood out to me was the 1 in 3 statistic that came out of a 1998 DOJ report about violence against women that basically reported that 1 in 3 Native American or Native women have been a victim of sexual assault, particularly rape. And that number just blew me away, which I think goes to the bigger issue is law enforcement doesn't care and doesn't want to solve these cases. And it's very scary. And I hopefully by us talking about Shakaya in this podcast will bring more attention to it and make people understand who are not Native Americans why this is important. Have you personally been involved in a case where you brought information or evidence to law enforcement, and how did you handle it when you brought it to them?
They ignored it. I have interviewed eyewitnesses and typed up notes and sent them to county officials, encouraging them to follow up with the eyewitnesses. I have called the FBI and tried to give them tips, and every time I've done that, those tips and information I've relayed has been ignored.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, and you're a lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like, you know what I mean? That's crazy.
Well, I actually had an FBI agent in the office in Billings yell at me and say, you know, I'm not going to investigate a case just because a lawyer tells me I have to. And I, of course, said, well, I'm not telling you you have to. I'm just telling you this relevant information. But, I mean, just really messed up. Yeah.
Wow. That makes me really upset.
Yeah.
Well, we really, and we know you have to go. We really, 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 really appreciate you talking to us.
Please, you know, don't hesitate to follow up.
We will, for sure.
I would be happy to speak to you again if you feel like that would be helpful. So,
okay.
You know, just really thankful you're covering this.
We'll definitely be in touch, for sure.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Have a good night.
Bye. Let's stop here for another quick break.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident, drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
After our conversation with Mary Catherine Nagel, we sent an email to Detective Fritz of the Yellowstone County Sheriff's Office just to see if they were still working on the case and looking into Rico's involvement. The good news is that Detective Fritz did respond via email.
But he also said he would call us to at least confirm that they were in fact working on the case, and he never did, which kind of leaves us wondering about the status of her case and Rico's potential involvement. But the more interesting thing that has happened is the text message from a friend of Shakaya's. Shanae sent us the screenshots of text messages she received a few months ago from a friend named Kristen. She apparently saw Shakaya in Great Falls, Montana, which is just 3.5 hours from Billings, where Shakaya disappeared.
The text from Kristen read, "I saw her walking. She ran and got into the back seat with them. It looked like she had a limp. My dad said it was a guy driving, but he couldn't make out what he looked like. He had a mask on and the windows were tinted. Almost positive it was a gold Buick." That's huge for a couple of reasons. If true, Shakaya is still alive. After seeing this text, I want to talk to Shanae and let her know what our private investigator turned up.
Karen is the one who sent me these screenshots.
Gotcha.
And again, Kristen would know what she looked like. She has seen her. She's known her. And again, we have heard multiple times that she has a limp.
So did you guys ever figure out what type of vehicle Rico drove or owned?
No.
So the PI gave us a report. He owned a Buick.
So when you sent us those text messages today, my heart leapt out of my chest.
Like the hairs on the back of my neck stood up.
Yeah, me too. Because why?
I know. I get it. I'm so sorry.
But this is good news. No, this is good news because information that we've got matches up with somebody who may have seen her in Great Falls. And it's more of a connection. I don't mean to make you cry. I am so sorry. But to us, like when we saw your text messages and we had seen the report from the PI, both of us like, oh my God, Deanna starts texting me like, did you see this? I'm like, yeah, I know, right? And that's why we wanted to talk to you today. Now, we're not saying this is the same Buick.
It could be a coincidence.
It could
be. Yeah, no, I know, but it's just, well, what makes me wonder though is because why would she just get in?
Right.
Knowing who she is, why would she just get in? That's right. What I always wondered.
And you know, that Romello is from Great Falls. In fact,
I did not know that.
In fact, he just got arrested for being on top of a woman in a parking lot that he assaulted in Great Falls.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm itching, you know what I mean? I'm like itching to my spidey senses, you know what I mean? They're kind of tingling.
More on that next time.
True Crimes is executive produced by Stephanie Leidecker, Deanna Thompson, Courtney Armstrong, Jeff Shane, Andrew Arno, and me, John Green. Additional producing by Connor Powell and Gabe Castile. Editing by Jeff Twa. Music by Vanacore Music.
True Crimes is a production of iHeartRadio and KT Studios. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, please visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims.
For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.